Today is a very special sermon in honor of Pastor Jerry Seawright's first pastoral anniversary. He talks about how the Apostle Paul reminds us about a hope that comes from God and his precious promises. Today's sermon comes from Romans, the 5th chapter, and is called Hope Does Not Disappoint. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
Right. If you will, join with me in prayer. Holy Father, come before you once again. Father, thanking you, praising you right now, Lord, for who you are. Lord, you have shown yourself to be in the midst of your people today. Now, Lord, I just ask that they hear from you. Lord, that they hear your words and not mine, but simply your words through me. I ask that you use me on today, Father, to encourage, to build up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right, I'm actually going to start off running because I don't want to take much time today. I know that that food is hitting your nostrils, so I don't want to keep you away from it long. Amen. But if you have Bibles, I ask, or tablets, I ask that you turn to Romans, the 5th chapter, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And I'm going to actually read the first five verses. And we're just going to talk a little bit about the fifth verse. And I'll begin reading Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to read from the ESV. It says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. In other words, it does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You know, many stories have been built on hope and trying to show how hopeful people can be. They tell you that they've had hope and the hope kept them alive through the most daunting of circumstances. You know, one of most folks' favorite Bible story is that of the prodigal son, where the father, you can envision, is standing on that porch or standing by the city gates, and he's hoping to see his son return one day. You know, along with faith and love, hope is a spiritual or theological virtue. But I would argue that it's misunderstood and often misrepresented. You know, some of us view hope from the world's definition, because the world has their definition of biblical terms. And some view it from the world's definition. Hope, they would say, is like a person watching a dog in its attempt to cross a busy street. We hope that dog makes it across the street. See, that hope is built within it some type of tension, some type of fear, some type of concern, doubt, and uncertainty. But a biblical definition is far from that. It's far from that. Hope is not that. In fact, when Dr. Worsby tried to describe this hope that we have, he told a story of a young man who was burned severely. And while lying in his on his hospital bed, the story goes that he was not encouraged to hope by the doctor's explanation of his situation. What he was encouraged to hope by, or spurned to hope by, was the promise from the doctors that he would be okay. And therein lies the definition, the main meat of the definition of our hope. Promises. The promises. Promises of who, though? Promises of who? The promises of God. That's what our hope is built on, that our hope rests on, is his promises. We know that we serve a God that is faithful to his promises. So, do we go back to that dog scenario and we have fear and concern and uncertainty, fear what? That God may not come through? A concern that he may change his mind, or doubt that he doesn't have the power to do what he said that he will do? You know, R.C. Sproul, he said this. He says, God as defined in the marketplace is nothing more than an idol. So when you go out and check out the definition of God by the average Joe that don't believe in him and that's not serving him, he's nothing more than an idol by their definition. We serve a God that is greater than our circumstances, that he's greater than our situations. We serve a God that is not like man, that he should lie, right? Neither a son of man that he should repent, meaning like change his mind about something. He's an all-knowing God, an all-powerful God, an everywhere God who is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. That's the type of God we serve. And our hope is built on that God and his promises. Therefore, this hope will not disappoint because it rests. It rests in God's promises. I want to read you all something that just really took me back this week. And it really ministered to my spirit. Because we're talking here about a hope that's built on God's promises. It doesn't rest on Seawright's promises. It doesn't rest on your promises. It rests on God's promises. Like I said, an all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere God. This is the God that gives us not only justification. Not only did he justify us, but he's given us so many other things. And therefore, our hope should be vibrant. It should be alive. And it should drive us to go on and push forward. This is what this said. He said, salvation is not like receiving just one gift under the Christmas tree. But gift after gift, all wrapped up together. The first package we find is our justification. And when we open that package, we find inside it another peace with God. Inside that package is access into his presence. And inside that gift is the ability to rejoice in glorifying the glory of God. And inside that package, we find there is joy in the midst of tribulations. And that very tribulation gives us another gift. Perseverance. Tear off that ribbon from the gift. And there is another one, which is the character that perseverance gives us. And within that gift is hope that will never embarrass or disappoint us. Finally, we open one more present, and it is the love of God poured profusely into our hearts by the grace of God. All these are the gifts of our justification. Our hope is not like that hope in a dog going across the street where we hope that dog will make it or not with all that uncertainty and fear and things of that nature. What our hope is built on is a surety. It's going to happen because we are resting in the promises of God. We are resting in the promises of God. You know, I did not come back to 296 with a Messiah complex. Like I'm some type of savior that can cure it all and hook it all up and poof to massage my ego. I did not come back with a Messiah complex at all. But God has given me folks and surrounded me with folks that have the very hope that I'm talking about. And I thank him every day for surrounding me with folks with this type of hope. Because, see, it's an old saying that you are so heavenly minded that you are no earthly good, but I propose to you another saying. You're so earthly minded that you do little good. See, in other words, having heaven in view makes you better down here. And in fact, it helps your ministry down here. In fact, I remember reading C.S. Lewis, who stated that because the apostles had a view towards heaven, they ended up turning this world upside down because they were ministering and they were witnessing for God's on God's behalf and converting many in the Roman Empire to God because they had a view of heaven. And some of us have lost that view of heaven where we are doing little good here now. But the Lord has given me folks and surrounded me with folks that have a vibrant hope. And they understand that they are looking towards heaven. And they're doing this kingdom work for a great God. And I just want to pause and thank them today. See, I believe in saying thank you. And I also believe in naming names. So I say names. Now, if your name is not called, it's just not your turn. Don't mean I don't thank you. Probably mean I will thank you in chapter 2. But I want to thank some folks today. First, I want to thank Karen, Jalen, Kayla, Kiana, and Kelsey. I want to thank my family. Because this thing took sacrifice. It took understanding and it took support. And they gave all that. And not only did they didn't just like stand by and try to observe me doing ministry. They became a part of the ministry. And I thank them for shouldering this with me. I also want to thank Elder Williamson. You know, going through that emeritus process, it's challenging. It's challenging. In fact, I've been reading many books, and most books say if you are going into an emeritus status in a church, the best thing to do is probably to leave. That's what it says. But thank God he stayed. And I thank him because I needed him. I needed him. And his family as well. I needed them through this process. And I thank them for graciously going through this process. I also want to thank my personal Simeon and my Annas. If you read in the Gospel of Luke, you'll understand what I'm talking about. But I want to thank Deacon Chrisman. And I want to thank Mother Woods and Mother Hardiman. You know, most folks, when I'm talking to pastors, they'll say that the older folks will give them the most trouble. That's what they say, because they are just stuck in their ways, calcitrated, or whatever that word is, and they just won't move. That these have been the most fluid, I'll call them mature saints. They've handled change and handled some switches and tradition and things of that nature. They've handled it so graciously. And I thank God for that. In fact, I've had, you know, some battle with some younger folks. But the older folks have really, really supported me. And I thank you. I thank you. I want to also appreciate Darren Woods on today. That there hasn't been a week that has gone by without us talking multiple times, tirelessly working on behalf of the church. This brother, I tell you, you know, thank you seems to fall short because I see his love for God and his love for the church. I tell you, you know, I'm trying to keep pace with that love that he has for the things of God, because he's burning with a passion for God's kingdom, for God's kingdom. And I want to thank Marnie and I always pair them together, Marnie and Clara. And the reason being is because one of the highlights of this church at New Life is what you all do with the kids. One of the highlights here of this church is what you all do in Sunday school. You lay it out, and you lay the truth out to where their minds will be trained to grab hold of this hope that I'm talking about, because you've laid the groundwork and you're teaching them the truth. And I thank all of the Sunday school teachers, but for some reason, that's just dear to me, what they do for those children. I want to thank Sister Cooper. You know, all the stuff that you do behind the scenes, the cleaning and things of that nature, you know, God knows. God knows, and God will reward. And I just want to thank you. I want to thank the hospitality crew for taking care of the church and taking care of the ministers. I must admit, they've done some things that I had to adjust to. One that I laugh about, and I got to tell you all this, brother Galloway. You know, he's got a way of operating where I kicked against it at first. I really, you know, I was like, man, nah, don't put me on a pedestal or nothing like that. But what he does is, like, he guards the door or makes sure that somewhere is there guarding the door. Then if I so happen to need to, like, use the restroom, you'll see him going there with me. And when I'm in that restroom, the door is blocked off. No one can get it. And I'm in there lonely, wondering where. No, I'm joking. But no, I'm like, I know somebody needs to use it besides me. But he's like, And then all of a sudden, when I'm out, he's ushering me upstairs, and I'm going upstairs until I get back in here again. I was like, man, I don't need all that. At first, until there were a few incidents where, honestly, I had to deal with like that, and it messes you up when you have to come up here and preach. So it kind of got to me, and I was still wrestling with it while I was still trying to give word. That's when I understood, okay, I got you. So when you see me marching and him, you know, going with me, it's not because, you know, da-da-da, here comes the pastor. It ain't that. It's not that. And you guys know that's not me. It's simply that he's saying, look, I don't want nothing to distract you. And I get that. And I thank him. And he's teaching the other little brothers as well, because, you know, like today when I come out, you know, they've trained me now where I open the door, I just got to sit there and wait. You know, Malik is there saying, I'm like, all right, I'm going. Also want to thank Sister Tammy. You know, in the Bible, you'll read of Joseph with the coat of many colors. This is the sister with many hats, and she just dives in there and she takes care of things. And I appreciate that. I really do. I want to thank the directors. The directors, it started off with Karen being the hospitality director. Then Karen will tell you that she was fired, but she wasn't. It was just, we just moved on. And then all of a sudden, Sister Lucille jumped in there, and Sister Marnie once again, and Brother Mike. You know, I just, appreciate the sacrifice and the jobs that they are doing. It takes time. It takes sacrifice. You know, I see you. I see you, and you're in my prayers. And, you know, I see what you're doing with the music department, brother, and Blake. I see you over there, and I'm praying for you all. And I'll tell you what Deacon Chris tells me. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. And I just thank God for you all. I want to also thank Sister Shapri and Brother Mark and Deacon Mark. They have, you know, Sister Shapri came in and she just came in and just dove on in. And I see the insight that the Lord has opened me up to. You know, I see the growth, I see the wisdom, and this is a woman with children's. And she has found, and she still has not diminished her work for the Lord. And I just thank you. And Deacon Mark, a.k.a. Sister Marnie, we'll call him Brother Questions. Those are helpful and insightful as we go and we try to do the work of the Lord and tackle this work that's before us. I just thank you, brother, as well. And then I want to thank our elders, you know, Elder Mack and Elder Julian. I mean, you know, I one thing I've learned, you know, but I read the book too late, and it says when you come in and you start a new venture, don't throw a whole lot of change folks away. But I read that chapter before I started, and I just came in, and I threw a lot of change. So you brothers have been gracious in trying to deal with all the changing and tweaking of things, even when it comes to, like, altar call, you know, dismissal, all these things, and the preaching rotation. You guys have been more than gracious, and I thank you all. I thank you from the audio crew, you know, and the pro presenter, brother Jay said, you know, I come and I say, hey brother, you know, at the last minute I say, hey brother, I got about, you know, 62 more scriptures I want you to put up there, and he's like, no problem, you know. Hey brother, you got a picture of like the earth and our galaxy and you know, and I'm asking this like at 11:29, and he says, I got you, and he brings the earth and the galaxy and everything else. Oh, yeah, he brings all of that up there for me like that, so I thank you, brother, and brother Corey as well, you know, being up on it, too. He's up here early. I just thank you. I thank you all, and I thank the church body as a whole. I'm telling you, I'm excited about Tuesday nights. The number is growing. The percentage of us coming out is growing. That's key to me because our foundation here is about teaching. Teaching God's truth. Teaching. Right teaching, right preaching for right living. That's what we're founded on, and you get that good teaching at Sunday school and at Tuesday nights. And last but not least, I just want to thank the young folks. Each week I see you all sitting here, and sometimes I say something where you all are cracking up and laughing and falling out over the pews, and I'm like, okay, I'm getting there. That's my indicator, you know, and let me know, okay, I'm getting there. But most of all, I see and I just see you all listening and gathering it in. And I'm telling you, the more you listen, the more you apply it, your life will be better. Your life will be better. Amen. And like I said, if I haven't named you specifically, it's not because, I don't thank you. like I said, and when I go home, I probably say, oh, man, dog, I forgot Sister Ratcliffe, or I forgot, you know. No, it's not because I love you less or thank you less or anything like that. It's just this time around, you know. Next time around, I have a completely different list probably, and I won't mention nobody that I've mentioned this time. I don't know, but I just want to thank you all now. Thank you all. So, all of these folks, as I stated, and that I mentioned, they have this hope. They have this hope. And this hope will not embarrass them or disappoint them, because it's built and its foundation is on God and His promises. So we hope in a way that is different from this world, where we hope in God's glory, that His kingdom will advance here, right here at 296. Amen. And in my opinion, and I'm not trying to blow smoke or nothing like that, in my opinion, this is the best kept secret in Pontiac. We have to like stop making it a secret and tell folks to come. To come. Amen. 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 So we have this hope that will not disappoint. And as Elder Williamson always says, if we don't faint, we will reap a reward. Amen. We will reap a reward if we faint not. This hope that we have is because of a relationship that we have with Christ Jesus. And if you don't have that relationship with Christ, this hope will be totally foreign to you. This hope is built on that relationship and what He has done for us. And in our response, we have made Him our Savior and our Lord. And that's what we cry out to you to do today. If you have not made Him your Savior and your Lord, this hope will be foreign. You will be outside of this hope. We want you on the inside of this hope. We want you to be a part of this hope. We want you to embrace this hope, because this hope will one day end us in heaven. We are heaven bound. And in fact, what's different about this hope is that it's not like, boy, I hope that dog, you know, make it across the street. It's not that. We can substitute hope for looking forward to. Just like you are looking forward to a trip. You look forward to it with great expectation and excitement. And that's the hope that we have. We have a hope with great expectation and excitement, because it's that sure. One day we will see Him. And we want you to see Him too. Amen. Can we stand? And today we hope that you make that decision today. That you will make that decision today. Today. We have altar workers here to discuss that very decision with you. And along with that, they will pray for you if you just need prayer. They'll pray with you. Or if you have questions in regards to membership, they can answer those questions as well. We will have elders here to anoint if you want anointing. But here is the cry and the shout out to you today. Please don't let this opportunity pass you by. Get it right with Christ. Choose ye today who you will serve. Make him your Lord and your Savior. Your Savior and your Lord on today. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen, saints. Part of that hope that we have in God is trusting that God is able to do what he said he would do. All right, so we're going to dismiss, and this is something new, so bear with me, as the grizzly bear once said to the customer service rep. No, just kidding, that was a little dad joke for you. All right, so we're just going to go back into a little bit of He's Able.
God is able to do just what he said he would do. He's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. He's able.
Come on, let me hear you.
Say, oh, 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 he's able. Oh, he's able. He's able. He's able. Whatever he said, that's what he'll do. Just trust in him, and he'll see you through. He's able. He's able. He's able. He's able. So don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. He's able.
Shall we look to the Lord? Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now just saying thank you for today. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to assemble into your house of worship one more time, Lord God, and just to fellowship with like-minded believers, Lord. We thank you for this worship experience, Lord. We thank you for the word of God, Lord. We thank you for how it went out and it touched lives, Father God. Right now, we just ask that you just bless each and every individual and their families here, Lord God. Just bless them in their going and their coming, Lord. Just grant them with favor and mercy, Lord, throughout their week and throughout their travels, Lord God. Remember the united body of Christ throughout the world, Lord God. Just be there and strengthen your people, Lord God, in these last and evil days, Lord God. Lord, we just ask that you just touch the food that is being prepared below, Lord God, and just let it nourish and strengthen our bodies, Lord. Just touch the fellowship that we may have. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to celebrate our pastor and first lady's first anniversary, Lord. Thank you for the work that you're doing with them and through the leadership of this church. Lord, we just ask that you just continue to press us on forward with the mission that you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at nlccpontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.